Hi, my name is Mike, and I'm one of the ministers here at the church. I'd like to start by thanking you for listening to this sermon online. Before we get started, I'd just like to say that we truly hope that this audio recording will encourage you in your walk with God. But we also hope that it would just be supplemental to your relationship with Jesus, and that it would in no way replace the church that you should be plugged into or the spiritual leaders God has put in your life to shepherd you. So please, enjoy the next 30 minutes or so of this message. I pray it will challenge and uplift you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. God bless.
All right. The microphone's on today. Yay. We'll start with something a little more lighthearted. Good morning. Now, I know most or some of you, being Canadian, won't know that the World Cup final is going on in this very minute, and I don't want to encourage you to check your phones, but I'm pretty sure that the game is ending right now, so don't tell me who won, please. I'm just happy that, this is going to sound weird, but I'm happy that Brazil didn't make it to the final, because I would be in an obvious conflict in this very moment. So, yes. So with that, we'll delve into our topic for today, into the Word of God, and let Him speak to us, and focus on that for the upcoming week. And our series and our topic today, our series is "Are You Feeling It?" And our feeling for today is fear and anxiety. So think of the last time that you were fearful or taken out of your comfort zone. A couple of weeks ago, we had a visitor to the church building, completely unexpected. It was a hot day. He was a 50-ish year old man, pretty muscular, veins popping out of his body. Kind of intimidating looking fellow, and the conversation started innocently enough. He's asking for a ride to Sarkhan. He had a bag of bottles and needed some money. We said no problem, but the conversation started to turn from there. That wasn't all that he was asking for. He started to get a little bit confrontational and started demanding other things, and his tone kept changing, and that's when I realized this guy is probably or possibly on some kind of substance. And so I started to ask him questions, where he lives and how he got here in this neighborhood, and he didn't really want to answer my questions. And he wanted to ask me questions. And in kind of a hostile voice, he says to me, you're a church, right? That's what that sign over there says, right? And you claim to follow Jesus, right? Then why won't you just do what I tell you to do and just take me to Sarkhan or get me some relief from the heat? And then he announced to me that he is singularly transforming the Mayfair neighborhood, and accused me and the church, so all of us, even though you weren't there, of not doing anything for anyone, and because I wouldn't even help him in the way that he was asking. And I said to him, well, you're not even giving me the chance to help you. And I said, and your tone of voice is making it even more difficult. It's making this entire conversation difficult. And that's when he had enough and he started walking away. But before he disappeared, he turned around to me and he said, and I can't remember if I'm quoting this exactly right, but he said, on the day of judgment, how will you respond when asked what you did with the Son of Man? And I was like, wow, that is, I've never been asked that before. A small case of a savior complex, maybe, I'm not sure. So I was left feeling a little dazed and confused. I was just relieved that, because there was at some points in the conversation where there was a little bit of, felt some tension, I was just relieved that he didn't turn on me physically because he was a big guy. Anyways, fear and anxiety, these are the things that we're looking at. We're looking at, in this series, we're looking at the God-given feelings that we've all been given. And I think once we know that we're human, that we're beings made in the likeness of God, and that He made us with this whole spectrum of feelings, then we can ask ourselves, what's God's will for how we live with all of these feelings that we have? And so I think the feelings that we're going to focus on today of fear and anxiety can be two of the most powerful feelings that we live with. But unfortunately, they can also bring a lot of negativity. And I'm pretty sure that that's not the reason that God gave us these feelings. So in a positive sense, fear is a feeling that you know, psychologists would say is the purpose, the positive purpose of it, is for it to be like a warning sign. Something that, to tell us that something might be wrong or not on the up and up in a given situation. So healthy fear helps us to be aware of things like bears that live in the forest and can attack us. That's been on the news this week. So that's a healthy purpose for fear. We need to realize things like that when we go into the forest. Anxiety is defined as an over-focus on the future. And reminds us that we can only control right now and what I decide to do with the present moment that we live in. That's the only thing that I can really react to. And so, as human beings, we are uniquely created with the ability to process the past and also foreshadow what our current decisions will can mean for the future, right? And so that's where the anxiety can start to play a role. And God doesn't want us to be controlled by the paralyzing power that both fear and anxiety can have on our minds. He desires for us to grow, to mature, some would even say transcend in our processing, in the processing of our feelings, no matter what may come into our lives or what this imperfect world will throw at us. Processing feelings, that's a tough thing. That's something that we have to learn to do right from the beginning of life. I see that even with my 3-year-old son, Curran, when we're excited and 'cause he's had a victory in doing his business on his little toilet, and we want to celebrate with him and we want to give him a gift, and so we take him to the store and we offer him one gift that we think is cool, and he wants something else that he thinks is more cool, but that other thing costs like 100 times more than we were thinking we were going to spend, and he throws a fit because he can't process his feelings, right? On the other hand, I've seen godly people who have endured terribly painful circumstances because they have grown in their skills of controlling how they process the connection between thoughts and feelings. So my most recent bout with fear and anxiety was almost a year ago. We made the heart-wrenching decision to leave our overseas post as missionaries in Ecuador. And I was deciding to leave behind a dream. It was a dream that I had had maybe even before I knew it was a dream. And I wasn't instantly replacing it with the next dream. And so there was a vacuum. There was a vacuum there in my life and in my heart and in my mind, and it was a difficult time. And we felt strongly that God was saying that for the well-being of our family at this stage in our lives, that it might be better for us to come back to Canada and look for kingdom work here. We also knew at the same time that decision of leaving was going to be difficult, that many people there in Ecuador would miss our daily presence in very tangible ways. And so the anxiety and fear built, as well as we processed the repercussions of our decision, as we started to then our mind wanting to jump ahead to the future and asking ourselves lots of questions, as we realized we were heading back to a country that in for all intents and purposes we really hadn't functioned in for almost two decades. What were we coming back to? Where would we live? Where would we work? Who would we live life with? How would we fit in after having been changed by the Latin society? So many what-ifs. And the what-if questions, they're a killer. And so it was a difficult time. And we are grateful that we had an overseeing church and mentors that helped us work through our thoughts and feelings. And so now, when I look back a year later, and it's always easier to look back than when you're living it in the moment, right? There's just some things in life, sometimes in life, where we just have to sit in that uncomfortable space of the man, this has happened to me. I don't know what is going to happen with it. And there's just those uncomfortable moments that we all live with, right? But we have the ability to make it through and look back. And that's what I can do today. And I can say that God was with us the whole time. He was with us the whole time. And it reminds me that He is always at work in each one of us. And by His grace, we can be freed from these thoughts that cause fear and anxiety. And God desires for us to learn the path that will lead us to that freedom. That He really does and truly desires for us to learn to trust and obey Him with all of our being. It's like what Paul says is the very basis of our lives. It's an understanding that it's only in God that we live and move and have our being. And remembering words like what Jesus says at the very end of, or what Matthew writes in his gospel account, never will I leave you and never nor forsake you. It's a basic belief and recognition that every breath and moment in this life is a gift. So what does our breath tell us? That breath that we're taking right now that we might not even realize. But what does it tell us? It tells us some basic things. That we are still alive. We're here. And therefore, God still has a purpose for us. And our temptation is to want to be in control. To take the reins, to be our own God. It's human nature. We're built with an ego. We're told as little kids, we're, our parents and our family and our communities help us build up our ego, but we're given an ego ultimately to die to that ego. Because we will learn in life, we're not ultimately in charge. And in the end, thinking that we're in charge and that we can live just giving, I can't think of the word in English, trying to satisfy our ego will lead to a trap of fear and anxiety. And so again, God gives us His Son, the living example of the divine life. And Jesus gives us the directions. How can we walk down a path that's free from fear and anxiety? And right early on in His teachings, right in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tackles some of these questions. And we'll look in Matthew 6 if you have your Bibles. These are very common, well-known verses, but we will look at them again this morning. And Jesus takes on the topic of worry. And He says, I'm not going to read all of this, but we're going to go through this. Like Brad, if we read every chapter, we could be here all day, right? Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? And He gives some examples. Look at the birds of the air. They do not worry. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? What about the lilies of the field? They also do not worry. So, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why is Jesus placing so much emphasis on worry? He knows the power that these negative feelings can have on us when life doesn't go as planned. Things can turn from rosy to gloomy quickly. We don't have total control over our lives. Completely unexpected circumstances and events can come upon us in the blink of an eye, and it can cause us to question God's purpose, His power, and His love. Last week, at the end of service, Bob prayed for a couple. It's a couple that we've come to know. They're the preaching couple, family, current preaching family at the Shelburne Street Church of Christ in Victoria. And we've had a long-term relationship with that congregation. My in-laws were members there for many years, and my father-in-law was an elder there. And we know that congregation well, and we've gotten to know Travis and Nicole on our furlough trips and visits and things like that. And Travis, in Ecuador, he's known as Travis Dos, the second Travis, because he also, like Mike, would bring teams to visit us in Ecuador, and so we got to know them even better. And he had spent some time in the Dominican Republic, and so he even knows quite a bit of Spanish, and so we really got to know them well. And the last time he came to visit, he showed me the pictures of his brand new 4-month-old baby daughter. He was so proud of their fifth child. And, man. Yeah. It was really, really hard to hear last week when we heard that they had lost their baby girl in just in a terrible, tragic accident. I could hardly sleep last Saturday night knowing Travis and Nicole and the pain that they must be feeling. And today they have to bury their daughter at 2:00, and we tried to reach out to them this week, but there's no words that can take away a pain like that. I'm just grateful that they have a loving church there that's surrounding them, as well as the ministerial group that he's a part of in Victoria. And I know that the pastors there in the city are with them, but it still doesn't take away the pain. And we can try to put ourselves in their shoes and imagine the questions that they must be facing, the feelings of guilt and loss. Last week I got to help out in the little kids class over here, and there's two beautiful little 2-year-old girls there, Kenzie and Nora, and I'm just looking at these little baby girls and saying, you know, that's just an indescribable loss. And the only thing that I could try to say to Travis and Nicole, despite their indescribable heartbreak, is that they are still beloved children of God. And there's no place for thoughts of guilt or fear. Because like Brad read this morning, God is perfect love. And perfect love drives out fear. And so I believe, just like God provided a path and worked through us in the last year to deal with some of the feelings that we had to deal with, that He is already carving a path for Travis and Nicole and their entire family. Is it going to be an easy road? Not a chance. All of us that have experienced loss, heartbreak, suffering, know that it's not easy. It takes a long time. It might take the rest of our lives. We might not ever fully be able to understand or get over the losses that we will have to endure in this life. But if we believe what we're reading here, we can know that God is good and that He is faithful and that He will be with us. So we talked a little bit about Jesus' teaching about the importance of dealing with worry, fear, anxiety, loss, suffering. But He was the living example of the path to victory over these debilitating feelings. So in preparing for this lesson, I asked myself, did Jesus live with fear and anxiety? And some would say no, because He had perfect trust in His Father. Might be true. It reminded me of verses like in Hebrews 2 and 4 where the writer says that we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, that He was made like His brothers, like us, in every way. And I believe that verses like what Luke describes in Luke 22 in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Luke was a physician, so he describes it with more precision, and he says that when Jesus was facing what He knew was coming, that He knew that prophets of old had always been rejected and ultimately a lot of them were killed, and that He likely would lose His life in the upcoming days. And it says that the sweat that he perspired was like drops of blood. And I think that when we read verses like that, that we're at least seeing Jesus take kind of head on the powerful feelings of fear and anxiety. And so it's comforting for me, at least, to know that I'm not the only one that struggles with these feelings. So Jesus doesn't just teach us words of how we should face this battle. He lives the struggle. That's the power of having a high priest who was made like us in every way. He can sympathize with what we go through. We also know the end of the story after the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that Jesus' obedience leads Him to his death. And we also know that this ultimately leads to His resurrection and His glory and His defeat over our greatest fears and anxieties, namely death. Because ultimately, I think in the end, most of what our fears and anxieties are caused from is a feeling or this unknown, the questions of the unknown of, is God really going to take care of me? Is He really there for me? Does He really care for me. And Jesus is showing us that no matter the circumstances, no matter how bleak or hopeless we might find ourselves in, that God is always there with us. And He is faithful. And He has the power and the means to carry us through whatever we're facing. I think in some ways Alicia and I have lived some of these questions even in the last 7 months while we've been here since January. We've been asking God to show us our next direction, and that's been a journey. That's been an adventure. We were shown many different opportunities. Some doors opened, and then they closed, and then others reopened. And especially me, because I'm more of a feeler, I'm kind of like going up and down with all those doors opening and closing. Luckily, I have a wife who's just kind of like, I don't know how she does it, but she's just like baseline almost the whole time. Helpful for me. Maybe God knew something in giving her to me. I don't know. I'm pretty sure He did, right? Yes. So in the end, He has led us to a ministry among Spanish churches in Brandon, Manitoba. I was born in Steinbach, Manitoba, but I haven't ever even been back there to see where I was born. But now we're headed to Manitoba. But when I think about the journey and where we're off to now, and when I think about where I was a year ago, right? In Ecuador, leaving Ecuador, what is going on? Where are we off to now? And when I think about where God's leading us, I couldn't have imagined that this would be where we're headed a year ago. All I know is that He has faithfully led us to something that looks like a natural fit for our family. And that's the faithfulness of a good and loving God. And we trust that He will provide for our needs and show us the best ways that we can serve the lost and the needy in Brandon. And so we are blessed. And that's why Paul can say in Philippians 4, and I used to read these verses. In fact, the only time I've ever been to Heritage Bible Camp and I won the pie for learning the memory verses from Alice. And I memorized these verses that we're about to read in Philippians 4. But you know what? I didn't really know what they were really saying when I was a youngster, right? Now I know what they're saying, because I've lived a little bit more life and felt a little bit more what it means to experience some loss and some tough times in life. But Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put them into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And the reality is that the battle with fear and anxiety, it's every day. It's every day. And Paul's words here, his prescription, his advice, these words that we're reading are coming from a man who had faced everything imaginable in this world, but had gained these tools. He had gained this will, this way of thinking, this way of seeing the world, this trust in a God of peace. And he is able to overcome what the enemy would want to paralyze him with. And so God invites us to joyfully turn over our will and say with Jesus, "Not my will, but yours be done." And I think this is how we receive the God of peace. And this is how we receive the peace that transcends all understanding and that can guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So this morning we're gonna close with letting the Spirit do some work on our hearts and minds, and we're going to ask a question. We're going to listen to a song that's touched me this week. And so I want us to ask ourselves and take a minute and then just watch this video for about, well, it's 4 minutes. What lately in your life has been causing you to feel fear and anxiety? And what does God want to say to you about that this morning? So let's put this up if we can. This is a newer gospel song that I've heard.
He told you you're not worthy. He told you you're
Oh, thanks. So that song touched me this week. And the question again is, what's causing us to feel fear and anxiety? What are the lies that the enemy is speaking to you this morning? Could be financial, emotional, lack of direction, purpose, problems with relationships. One thing that my mom taught me one time is to let your imagination run with the fear, and imagine the worst case scenario, that it all falls apart. You get fired. You lose all your life savings. Is God still there in that scenario? I think what the resurrection teaches us is that no matter what, God is always there. And this is the hope, the assurance, and the growth that He wants to bless us with. Not just here in the moment of a worship service, but also on the Wednesday nights of life, at 3 a.m, when the enemy is attacking us. But this is why we need each other. It reminds us to cast all our fears on the power of God. Let us know if we can serve you in any way this morning. You're invited to join us in the prayer room, and let's finish with prayer. Thank you, God, that you are our ever present strength. Help us to know that we are never alone, and that you will have never finished writing your story in our lives. Give us the faith to cast all our anxiety upon you, and to know that you truly do care for us. I pray especially this morning for Travis and Nicole and all the people in Victoria, and for anyone here this morning who might feel like what they're facing is not nearly is difficult, but they still are feeling the enemy attacking and causing them to question your love and goodness. Help us, Lord. Help us to learn to walk with you in trust, and help us to learn to not listen to the voice of the enemy. Help us to think about your peace, that you are there for us. I pray that you continue to bless us and walk with us this week and in this series. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless us.